Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Whoop, whoop. I am excited. We do have PGA Tour golf that is taking place today. Just another step towards having all of our sports back. Still waiting on baseball to figure something out. Rob Manfred says he believes that there's going to be a season for sure. But most importantly, Key, it is wonderful to have you back.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be joined with you guys at the hip. My LZ Granderson and my Travis Rogers. It's been wonderful. You know, I had a fake vacation. Well, really no vacation.
It was
I'm not feeling good. What's wrong? Oh, I think we need to go. Go where? To the hospital. You sure? Yes. Oh, okay. We'll go.
Sound thrilled.
Yeah, it was one of those. Okay. We'll go. Get there, you know. And, man, you got to see. I didn't send y'all the picture of the little couch. Let me see if I still got the little couch they tried to put me on, man, over the overnight.
Oh, is it that little chair that folds
man,
out?
Man, you had. Oh, man. Boy. Man, that thing. Ain't nowhere in the world they thought I was getting ready to sleep on that. They lost their damn mind. I'm like, come on, man. Are you serious right now? They really, man, it was a, how could I describe it? It was a two-seater.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a two-seater. It's like a one-seater. All right? And they expected me, it was like a third, it was like a quarter of a twin bed.
And it has the little lever on the side that has the feet thing pop out, right? Is that what you're
ridiculous.
Talking about?
No, it didn't even have that. You had to roll it out. And it was a sofa bed, but it was one that I've never seen before. It was like a two-seater, but it wasn't really two seats. It was like a seat and a quarter, you know, and they wanted you to lay. I said, man, I ain't going to be able to do that. So then, obviously, we got into the room with actual hospital bed. They put me in a hospital bed, man. I'm like, man, ain't no way in the world I want to be up in here.
Yeah, that's not
the same. That bed wasn't cool at all. God. Is it coming in every 20 minutes? I'm trying to get the eyes going. It's like, nope, not going to happen. You know, they just nurses coming in and out.
Oh,
because
yeah.
In the hospital nowadays, you know, there is no, you know, the maternity ward, and they used to take the baby away. They don't do that anymore. The baby stays in the room with the parents the whole time. They don't take them to the nursery anymore. They started that, I guess, maybe several years ago. They feel like that the mother needs to bond with the child.
And I'm looking at the picture you just sent, Key. It literally looks like you're 11 feet tall laying on this couch.
Like, it's seriously. And it wasn't even real leather.
Oh, my God.
It was that kind of stuff that your skin, LZ?
It's plastic.
Leather. Yeah, plastic, basically.
Yeah, plastic.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was...
Yeah. Well, Key, the good
where's
news
she
is...
Calabasas doesn't have a better hospital situation than this. Man, what you do need you got? Move.
You got another...
That's Cedar Sinai, buddy. That ain't Calabasas. That's the top hospital in L.A.
You'll get a good night's sleep.
You got to talk about that furniture.
What? 4 or 5 years, you'll sleep through the night again? You're good. You got nothing to worry about. Just... Got to go on 3 hours here, 3 hours there for the next several months, and then maybe you can get it out to 4 or 5 hours at a time. But you know how it goes. This is not your first time around the block.
No, yeah, no, it's fun. She's adorable. Can't wait to see her start to walk and move around and pull up on things, and you know she's going to be one that you're going to have to
tell you no.
No, that's the first word they all learn, right?
That's the.
No.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. They
gonna
tell me no. Yes. Dealing with her and dealing with London. London, man. That one there, boy. She 10. She like she 25. Like, who do you think you talking to? Mess around and gonna have me get locked up.
All right. So yesterday NASCAR did something that I didn't think that they were gonna do. Period. And given an opportunity to do it, I thought that maybe they'd be dragged kicking and screaming into the situation that they went into voluntarily and very quickly. They banned the presence of Confederate flag at their events moving forward. The quote is the last part of it. The display of the Confederate flag will be prohibited from all NASCAR events and properties. That's fantastic because NASCAR has a culture like every sport has its culture. And NASCAR's culture is Southern, and NASCAR's culture embraces the Confederate flag. And I did not think that they would act as quickly as they did after Bubba Wallace said to them, you know what, that thing's got to go, man. That thing's got to go. We all know what it stands for, and it's time for it to go. I thought that they would hem and haw. I thought they would lick their thumb and see which way the wind is blowing. And they said, you know what? You're right. It's gone. So credit to NASCAR for acting swiftly and decisively where other teams, other entities, other owners have been very hesitant to dive in. NASCAR, of all sports, did the right thing and did it relatively quickly.
Well, NASCAR has been trying for years to get rid of certain things, right? They even had me in a commercial way back when trying to figure out, how can we align ourselves with the African-American community? So, Jorge, that's your cue.
The NASCAR ride-along program puts you in the action.
All right, all right. That's it, Mark. That's it. Speed up and catch up. Right there, right there.
Oh, man, Keyshawn, you should have had that one.
Come on, ref, you gotta see, that's on the flag. You can't see, it was all over. Mark, that car was all over. That's fast and appears.
Oh, sure, now they throw the flag.
NASCAR on ESPN.
See, they've been trying to work with us slowly. But, you know, it got to a point where they had to fall in line. I think when you look at the way the country is, where things are, as I said to you a couple weeks ago, Travis, it's different now. You push back. You push back if you want to. You go ahead. You know, and I understand what people say, well, they're supporting this and they're supporting that and their fan base. Yeah, their fan base enjoys NASCAR, and some of their fan base is riled up, and they got the Confederate flags, and they big trucks, and no, you know, like the car that you picked. I get all that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, because the world is changing before our eyes fast, they had to fall in line and wake up. They can't continue to operate and run a business at the level because – they can't just conform because the sponsors say it. Well, yeah, the sponsors, the television people, they gotta do the right thing. Now, the interesting thing is it gonna be that way from here on out, or is it gonna now we gonna get some slick comments from some of the fan base and slick comments from some of the drivers and pit bosses and things of that nature? Are they going to try to be slick to the point where you start to see them getting fired, you know, by sticking their foot in their mouth? Because sure we're going to have a couple of those.
I agree with you. You can't do nothing. You know, I should say push back. The idea of NASCAR was not going to issue a statement after Bubba Wallace called for the removal of Confederate flags. NASCAR was not going to come out and say, no, man, we're cool. We like it. They weren't going to do that. They weren't going to push back. But what they could have done is what other people have at least tried to do. Jerry Jones, we talked about him a few minutes ago, is just kind of do nothing. Is just kind of sit there and wait to see what happens next. We talked about it yesterday.
Well, see, Jerry Jones' cover, though. But see, Jerry Jones' cover is the NFL and Roger Goodell. So that's a cover.
But Jerry Jones is the NFL. Jerry Jones.
No, I can't. I
sit there and say someone else is speaking for him.
You and I get that. We get it. But I'm saying NASCAR is the situation.
I hear what you're saying. So they had
to say something.
But the drivers, though, Key, yesterday we were talking about, the drivers basically did what I just described, and that is they said, we'll do whatever NASCAR says us to do. I don't really like it, but if they decide that whatever they decide is fine by me. They did not take a stand. They stayed very firmly in the middle of the road and decided not to take a point. That the governing body as a whole said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. I think it's to your point, Key, this time is different. This time people mean it. This time, hopefully, people stay angry and stay aware and stay plugged into the issues that we're all talking about, so we don't have to go through this every 10 or 20 years. Like I was saying, that why is this different? Because things like this are happening. Because NASCAR, of all things, which is still entirely, not entirely, but mostly Southern, mostly run in that part of the country, with fans that we've heard from say, oh, no, it's not about slavery. It's about Southern heritage. It's about the history of my ancestors. It's about all these things. And we know what it's about. The Confederacy is about slavery. The Confederacy, that flag represents a time when this country was busted in half because half of it wanted to keep people as property. We know exactly what it means. You can dress it up in any way you want, but you see it, and I can't imagine what it's like for somebody like Bubba Wallace to see it and be surrounded by it, and that they all that the governing body said, you know what, we're not going to do it anymore. Credit to them. It's 2020. You would have thought they would have been gone a long time ago, but at least when we're in this moment in time right now, they did the right thing.
Travis, they're still trying to get the KKK listed as a terrorist organization in the United States. They're still petitioning to get the KKK listed as a terrorist organization. I as far as I'm concerned, that's damn near one of the first terrorist organizations on the planet. I don't understand why we're still having this debate that it has to be passed. Certain conversations has just moved slowly. NASCAR is so screwed right now that one of the best drivers to come out of the diversity program is currently suspended indefinitely for using a racial slur. That's how screwed they are right now. But this is a win area. Now, the hard part wasn't getting here. Their diversity, their driving to diversity program that I talked about earlier started way back in 2004, was revitalized in 2009. And as I said, Kyle Larson is a graduate of that program, but there are many other graduates of that program. So they've been trying. They've been working with Magic Johnson. They were the great Reggie White. They've worked with a lot of minority to try and bring more diversity to the sport. And now they've taken the step, at least in terms of rhetoric, saying we're going to stop the flag from being flown in our races. Now comes the hard part. When the gates are open and the motorhomes are being driven in and they're painted with the Confederate flag on it or they're waving the Confederate flag, how are you policing this new policy? You know, what steps are you taking to make sure that what you said in June can be reinforced and be policed properly for the duration of your league? That comes the hard part, because I don't know about you guys, but I was watching the TVs. And as I was watching the TVs, I saw a lot of Confederate flags being waved as white angry men with guns were storming state capitals saying, open up, I need to get a haircut. So I can only imagine what some of these Confederate flag waving individuals are going to say when NASCAR, which is supposed to be their home base, tells them that flag is no longer welcome here. This conversation is just getting started. This is an important first step in a long series of steps that are required in order to make sure that what they said can actually be defended and kept up.
Michael Waltrip, who won the Daytona 500 two different times, also works as a broadcaster as well. He's going to join us next. We'll ask him these questions. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, yesterday NASCAR made the decision and the announcement that they're going to ban Confederate flags from all of their events moving forward. Joining us right now is two-time Daytona 500 champion, also a member of the NASCAR on Fox team, Michael Waltrip, joins us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Michael, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate you having me. How are you guys?
Good, man. What's happening, Mike? What took so long for NASCAR to make a decision to outlaw those damn flags?
Yeah, it's, you know, there's a folks that just look at that flag as Southern pride, but obviously as time has gone on, it's offensive to a large group of people, and they made the decision just yesterday to be rid of it. And I think all of us in the NASCAR world are very, very supportive of their decision to do so. We want the races to be a place where you can come and hang out with your buddies and have a good time, and we don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. And that flag obviously makes folks uncomfortable, and I'm proud that NASCAR took that stance and got rid of that flag.
It's, you know,
not a part of racing.
Yeah, you know, when I was down at Daytona with you, hanging around and sharing conversations with you, I never really, I mean, it wasn't something as a black man I even really paid attention to, because I looked at the faces in the crowd more so than I did of some silly flag. But the fact that they acted up on it in a 48-hour time span speaks volumes to the people at NASCAR that got it right. What about the riders, though, the drivers? Will they get it right? Well,
100%. Everybody stands behind NASCAR in this decision, and I certainly am thankful that the sanctioning body acted like they did and made the call to do so. There's a lot of things about NASCAR that they get right, and they get it right more often than they miss it. And having an inclusive environment, the place where everybody can come and hang out and just enjoy a sporting event, it's hugely important. I have a buddy, his name is Tim Duggar, and he's a country singer. And I read on his Twitter yesterday where he said, you know, that flag has only meant one thing to me my whole life. He's from Alabama, and he said it meant Southern pride. But it obviously makes a large group of people uncomfortable. And that's not how he perceives the flag. But he said, take it down. Let's fly an American flag or an Earnhardt flag. That's pretty American. That's American enough for him, and I couldn't agree more.
I'm really curious as to, you know, how the driving to diversity program has impacted the culture of NASCAR. You know that the organization's been trying to push diversity for a number of years now, and yet it took this moment and this march and this protest and this death to get the flag taken down. What has been the biggest impediment from the diversity program really having a good effect until 2 days ago?
I just feel like we're growing. Our sport is growing and more sensitive and understanding of differing cultures. I started racing NASCAR in the 80s, and I've just seen diversification happen. You know, right before my eyes, there's African-American kids in the grandstands and Hispanics, Asians. And I just love that. So with growth comes change. And, you know, we're growing, we're changing, we're making it more socially friendly to everyone. So I just feel like that we just need to continue this road we're on. Certainly a lot of great things are happening, and more can take place. And I look forward to watching that happen.
I just have one quick follow-up, because I've heard that argument too, that when people see the Confederate flag as Southern pride, do they know exactly what they're proud of, or are they misconstruing history? What is your sense?
My sense is it's misconstrued that I shouldn't say, because like Key, that flag means nothing to me. I'm from Kentucky. I knew it existed. You know, I knew it was a Southern thing, but I really didn't have any knowledge or opinion on what it meant. And it's only become relevant to me recently. And I understand that, you know, folks look at it differently. And it's something that I'm glad I don't have to deal with anymore. You know, I don't race anymore. And Key, you know this. I like to go to the people. I go out in the infield and maybe have a couple beers and hang out with the fans. And in doing so, I don't ever even think about who's what color or what people's consider. And that flag obviously could bring up those conversations to people, and now we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the fan base at NASCAR reacts to it. That'll be interesting to me, Mike, is how will the fan base react? How rudely will they erupt?
What I think about that is if you've got a problem with it, then probably you need to move on. And if you don't want to come back to a NASCAR race because of that, then we probably don't need you there. Mm-hmm. And so I think it'll be widely accepted. I believe most fans would be like my buddy Duggar and just say, you know, I'll fly an Earnhardt flag. I'll fly an American flag. I'll just come to the races and enjoy what it is, which is an awesome, as you know, entertainment spectacle. And I'm thinking that's predominantly how this is going to be received.
Michael Waltrip is joining us here on the morning show. He's a two-time Daytona 500 winner, and he's a member of the NASCAR on Fox broadcast team as well. Michael, if Bubba Wallace hadn't specifically said, I think they should come down, do you think we would have seen an announcement yesterday saying they're coming down, or did he speed up the process with his proclamation?
I'm thinking that his proclamation and his leadership on this issue is partly responsible for it happening so quickly. Do I believe it would have happened anyway? Yes, but certainly appreciate Bubba's candor and his leadership in this movement, and am thankful to call him a friend and look forward to him on the racetrack, because he is having a great season. He's had some really strong runs with his Richard Petty team, and I think that car he was able to run yesterday in Martinsville was special to him, and racing with Jimmy Johnson, he was a seven-time champion at the end, is something that I'm sure he'll never forget. And I'm just looking forward to talking about race cars again, you know, and Bubba having such a great year.
With that in mind, Michael, what's it like for the guys to run races with nobody there? Like you said, you know, Key's been to races, I've been to races, LZ's been to races, that it is a spectacle. It is wild and crazy, and it's a ton of fun. But with nobody there, what's it like for the drivers? I mean, it's obviously incredibly loud inside the car. It's visually different, but does it make any difference as far as the drivers are concerned, running on tracks with no fans?
Well, not while you're competing, not while you're, and obviously I haven't ever done that, but we've all tested our cars, you know, private test where there's nobody there watching, and you know, that's certainly it's normal for you to drive your car under those circumstances. I think the big deal with no fans is, for me, when I'm riding around under caution, you know, I might look up and say, where the heck did everybody go, and think about how strange that must feel. But when you're competing at sometimes speeds of upwards 200 miles an hour, you're obviously you're hyper focused, and you're not thinking about anything other than how you make your car go faster and what you do to be the best you can be on that track. And then
Michael Walt,
and you won. That's got to be the damnedest thing in the whole world, because I talked about being a man of the people and going out to the, you know, to the fans and being able to have a party to enjoy camaraderie and fellowship with folks that have similar interests, and then you have this, you win the race. It's one of the biggest days of your life, and then you just stand there and look around.
It's gotta be different for sure. Michael Waltrip, two-time Daytona 500 champ. Michael, appreciate you coming on with us this morning. Thanks so much.
Thanks for talking to you. And Keyshawn, I look forward to seeing you back at the races. It's always fun when you come around.
All right, Mike.
All right, thanks, Michael. You know, I love what he said in the middle of that conversation there. He goes, if you're offended by it, if you have a problem with the decision of NASCAR to take down the flags, then we can carry on without you. It's probably better off if you leave. I hope that is the reaction from the drivers, from the owners, from the sponsors, and everyone else. Instead of figuring out a way to make it right, just say, you don't like it? There's the door. You can leave. All right, yeah. Lots more to get to, and we'll continue that conversation. Plus, Reggie Bush is back in the family. Does anybody get credit for this? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Guys, let me ask you this. I believe Michael Waltrip when he told us a few minutes ago that if you have a problem with the removal of the Confederate flag and that's important to you, then good riddance. If there's the door, go. You think NASCAR feels the same way? Because the statement is one thing, but to go and alienate a significant chunk of their fan base to the point where, yeah, you can, if you have a problem with this, leave. Do you think that the majority of the NASCAR, the business entity of it, the organization of NASCAR, is comfortable knowing that they're going to alienate, deeply alienate a really significant portion of their fan base.
I do. But because they wouldn't have done it just to do it unless the powers that be and the people around really feel strong about the situation. But I do. I think that they, if you don't want to be a part of what they're doing, then goodbye. Because eventually somebody's going to replace you anyway and become a fan because they're doing everything the right way. If you had the hemming and the hawing in the, on Monday, they took it away, but then on, or better yet, on Monday, they didn't take it away. They made a statement. Then on Thursday, they came and took it away. Then all of a sudden, they regret it from taking it away on Thursday. That's when you get in, when you get caught in that middle ground, the first initial reaction is the reaction that everybody is expecting, right? They looking for that first initial reaction, which is, we snatching this thing down. It wasn't a pause. It wasn't a, well, Wallace said take it down, but it took him a month to make a decision. Mm-hmm. See, Jerry Jones is in limbo. He all, you know, now people looking at him different now, side eye. You know, Drew Brees, your first statement was something different than your last statement. So people go look at you different. NASCAR said, no, you ain't going to get me like that. We just going to come right out the gate. Bam, done with it. So they're getting praised for it.
It's going to be interesting to see how they choose to enforce this, how much involvement local authorities are going to have to be involved with, and whether or not they need to add additional security. Because as I said, you know, before the break, we saw Confederate flag waving white men with guns storming the state capitol over the quarantine. So I just don't think they're just going to roll over and say, oh, well, we can't wave our flag anymore. Okay, all right, well, we'll just leave this at home. If you're willing to fight to the death with guns and your Confederate flag to get a haircut, I'm going to assume you're going to do that to go into a NASCAR race as well. So how the organization chooses to enforce policy and police's policy is going to be interesting. Are they going to say, all right, we're going to let you in, but once we let you in this once because you drove here, you're banned and you're no longer able to come back in because you don't, your tickets aren't valid. That's one way they can do it. They can hire their own security, which could be very, very messy and open them up for liability. They can get local officials involved, but why all of a sudden are you making local officials part of your security task force? They got other things to do, presumably. So how they choose to do this, knowing the affinity for guns to be present, it's going to be interesting. You know, I know personally when I was a low-wage worker and I had a gun to my face when I was working at the convenience store, I gave them all the money. So I can only imagine what someone working the security gate at a NASCAR event who's making minimum wage and trying to tell somebody with a Confederate flag they can't come in, and the guy looks at them and says, oh, yeah, who's going to stop me? I can only imagine what that person's not going to do.
Well, there's two things here. I agree with what you're saying, LZ. There's the enforcement issue of how exactly are we going to make sure that these things don't come in, and if they do, what are the repercussions? That's part one. Let's just, for the sake of the conversation, assume that they're able to effectively eliminate the Confederate flag at their events, or at least drastically reduce it to the point of that. What Michael Waltrip said a minute ago, if you really have to have this flag, don't bring it here, go away, we don't want you. If television ratings go down, if fewer people buy tickets to the races, if fewer people are coming in and buying soda and beers and hot dogs, and the revenues are going down, and the advertisers that are on these cars and saying, hey, instead of me giving you $1 million to paint my logo on that car, I'm only getting in front of X percent fewer eyeballs, I'm going to give you $500,000. All of a sudden, it's affecting their bottom line because people are walking away from this. That it's. I don't want to say it's easy, but it seems to me to be pretty easy to say we're not going to do this. But if all of a sudden people are not spending money and they're voting not just with their outrage, but okay, fine, you don't want me, this is important to me, I'm out of here, and enough of those people leave and the money starts to go away, that's a different situation for them.
Yeah, it is, but they have to stand firm. NASCAR has to stand firm and understand that there's going to be some pushback, but you don't want to align yourself with sponsors that think like that anyway. If they're thinking that it's okay to you know, display Confederate flags and act out.
Not that it's okay, Key, and not to cut you off, but if I'm saying,
well, look, you did.
You promised me 5 million people a weekend to see my logo. Now I'm getting 3 million people a weekend to see my logo. I'm not paying full price for 300,000 when it used to be 500,000. I get that.
Well, you calculate that in the risk when you NASCAR. You've already calculated that risk. That's a risk that all these leagues have calculated the risk of what pushback and what repercussions and what's going to happen with the money and the economics when things start to change on the fans not showing up or watching or whatever the case. They've already did that analysis. That was done before they even issued statements. You know, they checked the box on, well, if we do this, you do understand we're going to lose some of this. They've already understood that, but they also know that it ain't going to be for long. The people going to come back. You know, it's like Major League Baseball is going through what they're going through, and people getting mad at them. That's cool. They're going to be mad at them for now. It'll sting a little bit, but
it's
eventually people eventually going to get back to watching baseball. Think about it. We went through the whole Kaepernick situation in the NFL, kneeling down. Nobody's watching. The ratings are down, blah, blah, blah. Man, people going to watch football. It's America's number one sport.
This is way more integrated, Key, than football. This is what I mean. I have not seen, and you guys know I'm a country music fan, I have not seen any of the major stars in country music outside of maybe Kacey Musgraves, though she's a new one. She's not one of the old established ones like, you know, Kenny Chesney, for instance. They've said nothing about the protest, about Mr. Floyd, and certainly not about the flag. They've stayed out of it. These two industries are intimately tied together. When country music said no Dixie Chicks, NASCAR was right there with them. They're the same audience. They interchange. The silence of the country music artists should let you know how this is being received across the board. And then when you think about, and I'm just going to get a little bit into the weeds, but I think it's germane to what I'm talking about. President Trump is starting his rallies again. His first rally is in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the site of the massacre. And he's starting it on Juneteenth, the day we celebrate our emancipation and freedom from slavery. That's not an accident, people. That's not an accident. To pick Tulsa, Oklahoma on Juneteenth to start your rally with what we know some of his constituents represent. Silence from the country music industry. NASCAR says no Confederate flags. Let's see how this rolls out. This is way more integrated amongst each other, this culture, this mentality. And so they may come back or they may start their own stuff where they can start the flag because there's enough power and muscle behind that. And they're not ashamed of what you may think of them. You know, Martin was talking about, Southern pride. I asked him, does he know exactly what they're proud of? You know, a lot of people like to whitewash what the Confederacy was, what the Confederate flag represents, but I'm going to keep it 100 all day long.
And Mike
the Confederate flag was the flag of succeeding from the United States. Those weren't patriots you're celebrating. Those are people who didn't want to be Americans, and they chose not to be Americans because they wanted to keep African-Americans in slavery. That's your Southern heritage that you're proud of. So as long as we're being clear about what you're proud of, I'm good. But let's not try to make a squeaky clean like there's some sort of good Americans. They're not good Americans. They actually were terrorists. They were actually a group of individuals who wanted America to fall. That's what they were.
Well, history's always watered down when it comes to things like that. And Mike went on to say that he didn't believe that the people who stood behind the flag in the first place even really understand what it stands for and what it meant anyway. So that just goes to show you people doing stuff, they follow in the crowd.
That NASCAR acted as swiftly as they did with direct contrast to what you're talking about, LZ, with the musicians, I think speaks to them. They deserve some credit for doing it because they know what's coming. They know the outrage that I'm sure is being whispered about now that will be much louder as we get moving forward. And the musicians saying, I don't need any of that at this point. Well, there's more there. We'll continue that conversation. Take it or shake it. Reggie Bush should he walk back in to open arms? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, Key, let's start with the Trojans. They are welcoming Reggie Bush back into the family. They are reassociating with him after 10 years of NCAA penalties have expired. Reggie Bush should have hard feelings at the way USC has treated him. Take it or shake it.
Take it. I think that Reggie should, you know, he should have some hard feelings, but at the same time, you know, SC was basically protecting SC when they clearly could have pushed back and fought to no return for Reggie in his association with the university. They had already been punished by taking scholarships and on probation. The university's been punished already for that. Why punish Reggie Bush? I mean, it didn't make a whole lot of sense when it happened. And if I'm Reggie, Reggie's probably excited to be a part of the Trojan family again. We care about him. We understood the situation because of the NC2A committee and what they did and on the infractions. But at the same time, the university didn't stand by him the way that you would have liked to see them do when they were, when, you know, Mike Garrett and the rest of the guys were there, President Sample. They just didn't. For whatever reason, they just didn't stand by him at the level that they should have.
All right, let's go to the NFL. Let's take a listen to Ryan Clark, who says that Jerry Jones's true colors are showing by not speaking out.
For Jerry Jones to come out right now and make a statement and say that Black Lives Matter, to make a statement and say that there needs to be change in this world, I feel that would be going against what he believes. See, Jerry Jones is doing what the owners do. Jerry Jones is focusing on the people that he cares about. Those are the people that sit in the rooms that he sits in. Those are the people that gets to make decisions on what those black faces do. He's going to stand where he's always stood. He's not going to let the pressure of society, the pressure of his players, or the pressure of actual people making changes. He's going to stay where Jerry Jones is. He's going to be on his yacht. He's going to be rich, and he's going to be white.
Jerry Jones is making a statement by not making a statement. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
He's still paying you.
Shut up, Raj. I'm not taking up for Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones know what he's doing. But I also at the same time, you know, when you've been out there and you was one of the first owners quick to complain about players protesting and kneeling down and toes on the line, now you should be a quick owner to step out there about justice reform and police brutality. This is not about the military and not about the flag. So whether you want to admit wrong or you want to hide behind the league's admission to admitting wrong, do as you see. It's hurtful to me knowing Jerry and Steven and Jerry Jr. and Shyla and all the rest of his family that this is happening when now – the focus is getting ready to turn on the Cowboys and Jerry. The attention is getting ready to turn to them over the next several days. You watch what I tell you, Travis. If he doesn't initial an apology by tomorrow, we're going to go into the weekend talking about this, and we're going to come out of the weekend talking about it.
Keith, what's he waiting for? Why hasn't he done it? Because Jerry, we can
hell,
talk
he
a million different things.
He might be on his yacht in the middle of the ocean somewhere.
But, come on, man. Come on. That's not an option. Jerry is remarkably media savvy. And so him not saying anything was done with purpose. Why? What is he waiting for? What is he waiting to have happen?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I have no idea what he's doing, what he's thinking. But one thing about him, though, is he's probably, from just kind of knowing him, he's a little stubborn, and he probably feels like he's being forced or bullied into doing something not on his own time. So therefore, he's just gonna sit tight. That's probably what's happening. Probably doesn't want to. You know how he is. Think about it. He's the guy that went to Pepsi when the rest of the league was Coke. So he's not, you know.
Yeah, but if you're picking the Pepsi in this analogy, that's a very different pick than a soda pick.
No, like, I understand, but he doesn't like to be pushed around. So maybe he thinks that people are trying to push him instead of letting him do it on his own. Maybe that's why he hasn't. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with reasons.
If he If he is that arrogant to think that this moment somehow is about him, then F him, boys. If he's so arrogant to think that the people in the street are marching and for change and demanding change and trying to get laws passed, that we're celebrating this homegoing of this brother that was killed in the street like an animal. If he thinks somehow this is about him and being bullied into something, then, you know, screw him. Screw him.
All right, let's go to the next one here. Let's go to Major League Baseball. Let's take a listen to Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, on SportsCenter last night. He will not commit to a date to start the season.
I don't want to commit to a particular date when we have to go down that path. I will tell you this. Each and every day that goes by, we lose the capacity to play at least one game. And that's really the time pressure that's significant at this point in time.
If baseball misses an entire season, it is Rob Manfred's fault. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it. It's on you, Commish.
I think it's on them.
That's why you get paid the big bucks.
I think it's on the commish to solve the problems. Every other commissioner seems like in these sports leagues that they're solving the problems and getting out in front of it. I mean, you know, I don't know if NASCAR has a commissioner, but they got out in front whatever they needed to get out in front of. You know, Roger Goodell got out in front of what he needed to. Adam Silver got out in front of what he needed to. So it's up to Mr. Manfred to get out in front of what he needs to get the league back in play and get them going. Let's get the owners and let's get the players together and let's figure it out.
Well, this is what we were talking about, you know, to use a more recent example when we were talking about SC. Like, this is what we're going to do. I'm in charge, and this is the plan I have in place. This is what I'd like to see from Rob Manfred. Hey, look, I understand the owners have their position. I understand the players have their position. But what's not going to happen is I'm not going to let these guys light a season on fire. If I have to force a season into place, I will, and they have X amount of days to figure it out, or else I'm going to make the decision for them. Take charge. Take a leadership role in this. Don't just sit there and say, well, you know, we're going to try to figure it out. Make them figure it out.
And it's his job to do that. Now, whether or not he wants to, whether or not the owners are telling him how to handle it and go about doing things, we'll find out sooner than later, right?
Yeah, they're like he said, every day that goes by is one fewer day of baseball games that we're going to get. All right, the NBA has a plan to come back, but they also are telling their players, you don't have to come if you don't want to. How many will take them up on that? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.